Today was the Yortzeit of the Morinayim, Rachel Imenu. And we spoke about Morinayim last year. There's another great Yortzeit, and other great Yortzeits as well, but maybe the most familiar other than the Morinayim is the Yesoid HaVoida from Slonim. Maran Rabbi Avram, who succeeded the Moshe Kabriner, who was Makam from the Reich Lechavitcher, and then the dynasty Ad Hayoim of Slonim. Yechas Avram, the Siv Shalom, and then until today's Rabbi the Dakinoyim. Yisoid HaVoida, he wrote this farm, and he's known as the Yisoid HaVoida. He was a big Baal Moifes. Many stories about the Moifes and what he did, the Ruach HaKodesh Gluya. After the passing of Moshe Kabriner, one of the first words that the Yisoid HaVoida said, and he led the Chassidim with a Moira, with a very big Moira Gadol. He turned to the Tzibur and he said, Mila Shem Elai. Mila Shem Elai. For the first few years, there was such a pachad in his company, in his presence, and even throughout the years, that he wouldn't take a kvittel that had anything to do with Gashmias for the first few years. Conducted one do'ilim to conduct themselves in higher she'ifas, higher histaklas. His whole metzias was like an esh, the Yisoid HaVoida. We would say Torah. So one of his closest chassidim was Rabbi Yehuda Leib Slonimer. And he was like the Rebbe's scribe. So when the Rebbe would say Torah, so he would write it down. And afterwards the Rebbe would look it over and he would say, that's what I said, but that's not what I meant. And he told Rabbi Yehuda Leib that if you understand what I'm saying, you have to learn Kesvei Arizal. If you understand Kisri, you'll understand everything what I'm really saying. But you don't understand what I'm saying. You write down everything which I said. But I can tell from what you're writing, you don't understand what I'm saying. So in order that he should have the full understanding, encourage him to learn the deeper swarm, to understand the oimik of what's being said. Another occasion, and this happened quite often, that the Gavu would come running to Yehuda Tzvi and he would say, no, the Rebbe's up, the Rebbe's up. This is like, 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, the Rebbe's up, the Rebbe's waiting for you. And he would fly out of bed, he would come running to the Rebbe's house and he would sit down with pen and paper, pen in hand, and the Rebbe would start to say Torah. And so as he's writing, he turned to the Rebbe once and he said, Rebbe, I don't understand anything what you're saying. He says, you don't need to understand. I'm here to say, you're here to write. You have to know what your job is. Your job is not to understand. I need to say, and you need to write. The Yisoid HaVoida from Slonim, one of the Slonim Rebbes. So Chassid was sitting at a tish. Rabbi Yosef Brezer was the name. And by the tuba of tish, and the Rebbe turned to him and he said, Rabbi Yosef, would you like money? Would you like Ashiris? So he said, no, Rebbe, I'm okay with what I have. I don't want. But the Yid sitting next to him was interested. And he said, Rebbe, I'd like to be rich. So the Rebbe said, how much do you want? So he says, I want 40,000 rubles. So the Rebbe said, 40,000 rubles? No, I'm going to double it. 80,000 rubles. And never in his life was he ever lacking 80,000 rubles after that. Never. There was another Yid, the Rebbe once needed money for a certain stakainian, and he sent a shliach to this gvir saying, he needed a certain sikum of money, which was a very high amount. And he sent back to the shliach saying to the Rebbe, I can't right now. So the Rebbe sent back the shliach saying to tell this to the gvir to come to him. So he comes and he's sitting in front of the Rebbe. And he turns to the gvir and he says, "Do you know that the key to your pouch is in my pocket?" So the gvir says, "Yes, Rabbi, I do. Whatever it is you need, I give to you. Give to you. Whatever it is." But his chidush etayra, Yehuda Leib was once running over these chidushim, and he turned to his rebbe and he said, "Rebbe, these chidushim are so brilliant. They come from such a place. Only with Ruach HaKodesh could one say Torah like this." So the rebbe turned to him and he said, "No, it's not true. This has nothing to do with Ruach HaKodesh." He says, "A person who learns Torah mitoch hadchak, when he's learning Torah, even though he doesn't have what to eat, he doesn't have the koiches, whatever it is, he applies himself and he's moiser nefesh limud haTorah. He opens up a shaar for Torah like this." He says, "There was a tkufa in my life where I didn't have any bread in the house, but I would learn 8 hours straight, 8 hours straight, with such a cheshek, with such a hasmada." He says, I didn't even have a taiva to lick my lips with the saliva in my mouth from my thirst and from my hunger because of the cheshek which I had for learning." That's what he said. And it's that tkufa with that type of a learning which opened up shaar for Torah like that. Some of the Maifsim. He was once sitting with a close chaver who was also a Talmud from Moshe Kabrin, Rav Shmaya Kohen. Talmud of the Lachavitcher, actually. And a woman came in, brokenhearted. And her daughter had run off with a Gaish man. And she was sobbing and big bechias, and she looked at these two men, and she knew that they said, she asked where the Rebbe was, and there were two of them were sitting. She didn't know who was the Rebbe. So she says, "Who's the Rebbe?" So each one pointed to the next and said, "This one's the Rebbe." So she got upset, and she says, I've come here as a broken woman, and you're making jokes?" So he said, it got very serious. And he says, what's the matter?" So she tells the story about her daughter. So Sedevoida says, he's very serious. He says, "Go to, does your daughter have anything left in the house?" She says, "Yeah, she has a sweater." He says, "Go, take some strands out of the sweater from where her heart is, opposite her heart, and take it and use it as a wick for lighting Ner Shabbos. And light that for Ner Shabbos, and then I give you Haftacha, she'll come back." And that's exactly what happened. And after that Maisa, it was in like a certain town that he was visiting. He turned to his friend and said, "We got to get out of here before they make me into a Baal Maisa." And he left the town so that they shouldn't, you know, come flocking for Maisa for him. But Maisa, he couldn't escape the popularity, and the Maisa flew like water, and Mamish all the time by him. A Yid came and he needed to get out of army service. You know, those days, army service, not like today. You know, it's not like joining the Israeli army, although that also has its issues. But, you know, this was, you know, it could be 20 years, 25 years, and there was nothing left of the Yid after that. So a Yid came, and he told the Rebbe he needed a tour for the army. So the Rebbe said, "Wake up at Chatzais and to say Tehillah, middle of the night." Just sounds like a big Indian, big skula in the Sfar Mekdash. So he did so. And so he was saying Tehillim in the middle of the night, one of these nights, and all of a sudden he hears this crash. So he goes running to see where the crash was, and it was some type of a train or a car, which had like overturned, and he sees that there are some people there, and he helps them out, he brings them in, and he offers them a tea, warms them up by the fire. So he asks, he says, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" He says, "We're passing through, we're here to enlist all the people into the army in the nearby towns." So he said, "So what's your name?" They said, "Nah." So he took down the name. And when it came time to in the army, this guy was popular. Say to him in the middle of the night. And, you know, the Rebbe saw what the Ruach HaKodesh, you know, what would come from that. There was two Yidin, Bachrim, who came to the Tish, and they had no Shaykhis to Chassidus. And one of them was more of a Ben Taira, and the other one not. He had like long hair and he was a little more modern. So they thought that they would go to the Rebbe to see what the Tish is like. And on the way there, they're going back and forth. Should we go? Should we not go? So one of the Bachim says to the other one, he says, really going to a Tish is something only for married people. You know, Bachim don't really go to Tishin. And he says, you know, what type of an impact is it going to have on us? Well, the Maisa, they walk in and they find a quiet place in the corner, part of the Tish. So all of a sudden, in the middle of the Tish, the Rebbe cries out in a very loud voice, and he says, what do you think, that a bacher could do whatever he wants, and then he gets married, and then he becomes a chassid? And then what? And during that time, he's just going to comb his hair? His long hair? And then he said, mein kinder, he looks at them, he finds them in the crowd, he says, mein kinder. He says, the earlier the better. So he says, and after that, nobody knew what was going on, you know, only they knew what was going on. But to see such Ruach HaKodesh Gluya, you know, when he was listening to their conversation before they walked in, they knew what was going on. But this was known by him. There was somebody who came to the Shulchan Atar, to his Tish, and he mached a l'chaim. You know, he was making a l'chaim, and he was getting a little tipsy. So all of a sudden, the Rebbe in the middle of the Tish starts to go, should I say or should I not say? He's going like this, should I say or should I not say? So then he looks up and he says like this. He looks at the Yid. He says, you should know that in a previous lifetime you were a shikr. And it didn't end well for you. You were a chayte. And then even the time before that, you were a shikr and you were a chayte. So I'm warning you now that if you become a shikr and a chayte again, you're not going to have another chance. So he said.
Never touch wine again.
He said, I'm warning you not to drink any wine anymore ever again. So he said that. There was a certain shaykhid in town that came to give shalom to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe says to him, he says, even a simple yid needs to make sure that his tzitzis are kosher. And especially your shaykhid, your Rishamayim, needs to make sure that his tzitzis are kosher. So he said, okay. So afterwards, he was, you know, went to the corner and checked the tzitzis, and he saw that it was possible. Tzitzis were possible. But just, you know, beautiful maisa. There was a yid who, like a Litvish yid, that one of his chavim, who was chassidish, wanted him to come see the Rebbe. So he didn't really want to go, but they were standing at the front of the door of the Rebbe, and then all of a sudden, like, the chassid just pushed him in. And he's standing in front of the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, what brings you here? And he said, came for a bracha. So the Rebbe says, the greatest bracha I could give you is that you should be a chassid. So he turns to the Rebbe and he says, I don't know, Rebbe. He says, my Zayda was a big misnaged. I don't think that he would be so happy if I became a chassid. So he says, your Zayda thought that when he was in this world. But already in the next world, he knows the ma'ala of being a chassid. And he'll be very happy with you being a chassid. And I'll prove it to you. So he said. He says, don't you have a cousin? Don't you have a chassin, a cousin, a girl, that, you know, she was a shtickle struggling with her Yiddishkeit. And your grandfather would come to her in a dream almost every night, and he would say to her, you have to come back, you have to do chayzeres b'tshuva. But she wasn't paying attention. This is night after night. So one night she turned to your Zayda and she said to him, I want to do tshuva, but I don't know how to do tshuva. So your Zayda said back to her, so then go to the Tzaddik Hadar. She says, I don't know who the Tzaddik Hadar is. So he said, Yisrael HaVoyed is the Tzaddik Hadar. Go to him, he's going to take care of you. And you tell me your Zayda doesn't want you to be from the Chassidim? That's what he said. There was a Yid. in the city of Slonim, who, Nebuchadnezzar, he left his wife, left her in Aguna, went to America. And for years, nobody knew of what happened with him. And she came to the Yisrael HaVoida and crying and saying, I can't live like this anymore. So all of a sudden, he shows up in town. The Rebbe gave her Yeshua, he would take care of it. And he shows up. So he's walking down the street one day, this Yid, and he sees the Yisrael HaVoida walking down the street. And he starts to scream it. He starts to scream it. He says, that's the stick. Because, you know, the Rebbe's walk with their sticks at the king. He says, that's the stick. That's the stick. What do you mean? That's the stick. That's the stick. He says he was in America. All of a sudden, somebody showed up at his door. And he says, and he started to smack him with a stick. He smacked him with a stick. That he says, you better get on the next boat back to Slonim. He says, I'm going to keep smacking you. I'm never going to. He says, he looked at, he saw the stick. He remembered the Rebbe. He said, that's the stick. That's the stick. That's what he said. There was a Yid who was standing outside one of his Anshe Shloime, one of his Chassidim who was standing outside his door. Not outside his door, he was contemplating coming to see the Rebbe, but he didn't know if he wanted to. About his business, some type of a business matter. So anyways, he comes to town, and he's passing through the town, and the Yisrael HaVoida is he finds him in the street. It was very uncharacteristic of the Rebbe, but he made it in his inyan to go to him, because he knew he wasn't sure whether to come see the Rebbe. So the Rebbe starts to schmooze with him, and he starts to say, I know what you do every day, from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. And he starts to tell him, you wake up in the morning at this time, and you go to Davin, and then you have a Seder in this, and then you have your breakfast, and then you go to work, and this and that, and then you schmooze with this person the whole day. His mom is blown away. So the Rebbe says, why do I tell you this? So that you don't think that you could do whatever you want, that I don't know what you're doing. So you don't think you could do whatever you want, I don't know what's going on with you. Yes, that's what the Rebbe is to a Chassid, you know, a real Rebbe. Such a kesher with his Chassidim. Of course, it's just a mussar that the Eibush should know what we're doing. You should just think that I don't know what's going on in your life. You think you're going to come to me, you're not going to come to me, whether you come to me or not. I'm thinking of you and I know what's going on with you. He said that the Chassidim, I shouldn't say the Chassidim, but anybody who keeps Shabbos in this world, so in the next world, even if they're in the Gehenna, Chazal say that the fires of Gehenna are put out on Shabbos, even for those who are in the Gehenna. So the Yisrael HaVoida said that there's a difference though. He says, if a person just keeps Shabbos regular, so then he stays in the Gehenna, but the fires are off. But if he goes to a Rebbe, And he's part of a matzav on Shabbos, then it's not just enough that they put out the fires. That they come, the Rebbe comes, he takes him out, and he spends Shabbos with the Rebbe. And everything like he had in this world, he has with the Rebbe. He says with a shein upon him, and with the begadim and everything. And when Shabbos is over, so he goes back. But he says, don't think that everybody is the same in the Gehenna when it comes Shabbos time. How you spend your Shabbos in this world is how you spend it in the next one. And then he said, he was speaking about the Gehenna, and he said to his Chassidim, he said, Kindelach, he says, what do you think? Do you think that in the Gehenna there's no Pesach to the Gan Eden? So the Father there is. And the Rishoyim even know the Pesach to go from the Gehenna to get to the Gan Eden. So why don't they go? So the reason why they don't go is because the door to get to Gehenna is very small. And you have to bend down to get in. And they don't have enough shiftless to be able to bend down to get in.
Let's
get to Gehenna. This and then one more. So one of the, in Slonim, there was also a very strong kahila of Litvish. Descent, and the Rav was a big guy. His name was Isaac Kharif. And he was a big misnagi to Chassidus. And they would make fun of the Soil of Avodah, and you know, he wouldn't, maybe he would. But you know, that was Kaseidah in those days. And once there was some misnagdim who went to the Tish, they said, you know, to come up with some juicy stuff to make fun of it. So at the Tish they come, and the Soil of Avodah says the following thing. Ish imay va'aviv tiro. And he types it like this. Ish, a mensch. Imay, for mother, the mother. Va'aviv, for father. Tiro. Just types it. And that's all he said. So afterwards, the Misnagdim, they came back and they said to Rabbi Zacharyah, what did the Rebbe say? He says, oh, Ishima Yitiro, this is what the Torah, the Rebbe says, you know? Torah is like that. These are the Torahs. So then he saw some Chassidim, and he turned to the Chassidim, and he said, Sunu, what did the Rebbe say? He says, oh, you won't believe what the Rebbe said. Ishima Yitiro, Tiro. He says, what did the Rebbe say? So he said like this, he says, Ish, a mensch, imai, from mutter, from the word mutter, v'aviv, from fater, meaning putter, a mensch, if something is mutter, or even if it's something which he's putter in, tiro, shav yushmai. That's what the Rebbe said. So he says, you see the difference? He says, two people heard the same thing. One person was connected, the other ones were not, and they heard two totally different things. Despite all the Mayra and that they had for the Yisrael Avoida, he was the biggest when it came to Avoida Hashem B'Simcha. Ivdu es Hashem B'Simcha, Ivdu es Hashem B'Yira. He would say all the time, Avoida Hashem B'Yir has to be B'Simcha. There was a time that he couldn't be B'Simcha himself. So, and he said, he says, even if a person struggles to be B'Simcha, he has to have emuna. Even if he can't be besimcha, to have emuna that to be besimcha. Emuna is one of the big inyanim when it comes to slanim and lechavich bechlal. That's their inyan, the emuna. And he said, somebody wants to ask him, Rebbe, if I'm struggling with my simcha, where do I get my simcha from? So the Rebbe took his tzitzis in his hand, and he says, I don't understand. He says, do you think that the Kaiser has simcha like this? The simcha like this? Do you think he has a simcha like that? And then he took his payas and he says, you think he has a simcha like this? Like the Vilna Gaon before he passed away. You know, he was holding his tzitzis in his hand and he says, in this world, it costs you just a few bucks to get, what is it?
Kopecks.
To get, you know, a mitzvah like that. And in the next world, everything which we do is mali the godish besimcha. They want to ask them, they said, the Gemara says that Shari Demoras Lo'ininalu, that although after the Churban all the gates in Shemayim have been closed, but the gates of tears have not been closed. So for Rebbe, so you're so big on Simcha, so what's the deal with the gates of Simcha? Sounds like they're closed. The Gemara only says that the gates of Demoras are open. So he said, the Rebbe says, no. He says the Shire of Simcha doesn't have doors, doesn't have any gates. It's not Shaykh to open, it's not Shaykh to close. There's no doors when it comes to something. It's always open. It's chosi agleinu l'kayis olam.